Welcome to the Montgomery Community Church Podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. We hope this message encourages you and inspires you to grow deeper in your faith. If you'd like to learn more about MCC, you can visit our website at mcc.church.
No matter the difference, we are brought together by one thing, the gift that Christ Jesus has given us. We are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord, His church. Focus on the one thing that should unite us, Jesus. So do you accept? Do you receive the gift from God?
Well, if you are visiting with us for the first time today, maybe you've been coming for just a while, I want to invite you to join us today for Meet the Pastors. It's going to take place just after noon. You can go to the welcome desk and find out more. But it's a time for you to come, ask your questions, find out more about the church. We want to serve you in any way that we can. And there's also a free meal. So I encourage you to just check that out. Love to see you there today. I'm going to be there and hope to see you as well. It should be a great time. Well, I was thinking this week about just over 15 years ago, Carol and I went on this trip. We went on this trip to Israel. Just over 15 years ago, we stayed with these missionaries there, and we wanted to find out more about what they were doing, how we could support them. And so they wanted to take one day out to just show us the area. And so they took us to the Dead Sea. They took us to Masada, which is this incredible place I wish everybody could go to. And then we got in their car, this old dilapidated car, and they were driving us uphill then to Jerusalem. And on the way to Jerusalem, well, the car started sputtering and made all this different noise, eventually just broke down altogether. They had to pull off to the side of the road. Now, when you're in that area, you can't just keep your car on the side of the road, because if you do, if you abandon that car, they think it's a bomb. And so you have to stay with your car until you can find some help, but they didn't have any money. And so we felt pretty stuck. And then one of the missionaries, this young lady in her upper 20s, she had an idea. She knew this mechanic. He was a Muslim man from the Palestinian region there. He wanted her to be his third wife. And so she didn't really, as a Christian, have any interest in being, married to a Muslim. And she really wasn't interested in being, his third wife. But she did know that if she called him, he would come running to rescue her. And that's exactly what he did. And so he showed up and he pulled up in his car. And immediately, they have different license plates that identify where you're from. Immediately, somebody there, some fellow Jews there, they pulled up to protect us from a Palestinian. And so we had to let them know, we're okay, he's helping us. And so they left, and he, crawled underneath the car. There was no way to fix that car. And so he tied a rope to the front axle of that car, and then, to the back axle of his. And he said he needed somebody to stay in the car behind and make to brake, just to make sure they wouldn't run into the back of his car while he was pulling that car, all the way to his garage back in the Palestinian region. And of course, everyone there quickly got in his car, and I was left standing there by myself. And so I was the one who was lucky enough to be behind the wheel and make sure I, push the brake in time that we wouldn't smash into each other. And so now he's pulling me, basically, through Jerusalem. Eventually, it's getting darker and darker into the Palestinian region. And I got to tell you what, I didn't feel comfortable at all. Not at all. Then eventually he pulled us into Bethany. And you read about Bethany, of course, in the Gospels. And he pulled us into this garage. I remember seeing all just different kinds of activity. People jumping over walls. It did not feel safe to me. And then we pulled up to the garage and the mechanics were there, but they were all smoking something, if you know what I mean. So they were pretty much high. But the car eventually got fixed. And on that same trip, Carol and I attended this kind of conference, if you will, with about 200 fellow Christians. And it was in, Bethlehem. And in that conference, I just learned so much. In fact, a surprise speaker showed up, the president of Palestine. And he showed up to speak. and to welcome all the Christians there and just want to make sure we were welcome there. And it was pretty stunning to be in that place, you know, not only in that room, but in Bethlehem with a president of Palestine. And after he spoke, we thought, well, what's going on? So Carol and I, we walked outside, and there we saw just so many tanks all the way down the streets, all the military, all kinds of weaponry there to protect him, to guard him. And so we walked down the streets and started trying to talk to the soldiers. Carol wanted to take some pictures, you know. That didn't go over so well. But you know what? I just remember standing there in that place going, wow, so much going on here, so much confusion, division. And we're standing right there in the middle of it. Yet even with all the tanks and all the weaponry, things were somewhat peaceful. But not now. Those tanks are being utilized now. All those weapons are being utilized now. And so before we begin, I just want to pause and have us all pray. It says in Psalm 122 to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So let's do that. Will you join with me? Dear Father, our world is chaotic right now. Certainly there in Israel, in Jerusalem, and the regions around. Lord, so much hatred, so much division, so much confusion. And Lord, when we think about the Jewish people there and all that they have experienced, the loss of life, family members, babies, children, our hearts break. Lord, we pray for peace in Jerusalem. God, we pray that you, the God of all peace, would minister your peace to them, your healing to them. And Lord, we pray, God, that you would do a remarkable work more than we can imagine or think. Lord, we also pray for the people there in Palestine. Lord, the recent stats show that at least 15%, maybe up to 25%, of people there are actually Christians. And I had the opportunity to meet many of them when I was there. It was amazing. And they live in a world, in a region where they can't even tell others about their faith or they'll be killed. And there's just so much confusion, so much division. Lord, we pray for them as well. Lord, we just pray, God, that you would bring peace. You would bring resolve that, Lord, that in your hand, Lord, in your work, that you would do something that we can't even imagine, our world leaders can't even imagine. But God, we pray, Lord, for the people there. We pray for the families there. We pray that in one way or another that this would cause them to look to you, Lord, their God, that they would come to know you. And Lord, that through it all, you would bring peace. We pray for this, Lord, in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, have you ever had a time when you were really excited about something? You know, you experienced something, and you wanted to tell someone about it. And so you're meeting with somebody, you know, and you're telling them about that, but then somehow you got sidetracked in the conversation. I mean, say, for example, you wanted to tell a friend of yours about your trip to Hilton Head. You're all excited. You just got back, and so they asked you how it was, and so you started talking to them. And you know what, you said, oh, it was amazing. You know, we started out, we were driving to Hilton Head, and then suddenly said, oh man, we pulled off the highway and we went to this restaurant. We were hungry. It was so amazing. And so then you started talking about how great this restaurant was, the food that was there, and you know, how you just gotta stop there if you go to Hilton Head. And by the time you got done with your conversation, your friend learned more about that restaurant than they did about your vacation. You ever had that? Some people call that a result of ADD. Some people call that verbally trailing. I think there's a lot of people who verbally trail. Others say that's what happens when you're really tired. And some people say it's what happens when you're really excited. Well, I think the last two reasons might apply to the Apostle Paul when it comes to the beginning of Ephesians chapter 3. Because you see, he starts out clearly enough, right? He says this in verse 1. He says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. And so he says, for this reason. So from verse 1, if you just stop right there, you understand that the reason for which Paul was writing had something to do with his imprisonment. And what's interesting to note here, however, is how Paul refers to his imprisonment. He doesn't say he's a prisoner because of the Romans, or he's a prisoner due to some wrongful actions of others, or he's a prisoner due to the actions taken by Jewish leadership. Rather, Paul tells us that he is the prisoner of Christ. That's interesting. But that's not all. He tells us also that he is a prisoner for the sake of the Gentiles. And that would be a reference to most of us sitting here today and watching online. He's a prisoner for our sake. As we put this together, what do you get? That it was due to his faithful devotion to Jesus, a fellow Jew and his Savior, that Paul went out to minister then to the Gentiles. And in the process of doing so, he lands in prison. But it's clear that Paul isn't blaming anyone here for this. In fact, Paul is truly excited about the chains that he was blessed to wear. You see, Paul's love for Christ compelled Paul to action and propelled Paul to share the gospel. And in all of this, Paul wasn't looking for others to feel sorry for him, because rather, Paul wanted others to rejoice with him. And we see this clearly enough at the end of the section of scripture we're focusing on today, verse 13. He says, "I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory." So Paul begins chapter 3 by focusing on his imprisonment, but then we're going to come to see he gets sidetracked for just a while before coming back to his main theme again. And how do we know that? Well, take a look, if you have your Bibles there, take a look at the beginning of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "For this reason." And then in verse 14, he comes back to it again, "For this reason." And so everything between verses 1 and verse 14 is Paul's sidetrack conversation. And what's interesting here is that Paul was normally very focused. In fact, many theologians would say that Paul would have made a good lawyer, because Paul would normally state his case, right? And then he would provide all the reasons for the case he had just stated. Then he would state his case again, maybe provide even more reasons to support that, and before stating his case again. Paul didn't want anyone to be confused. But here at the beginning of Ephesians chapter 3, Paul starts talking about one thing, then gets sidetracked by another, only to return later to the original point he was trying to make. In fact, we're going to talk next weekend about the original point that Paul was trying to make, because today we're going to talk about this sidetrack conversation that Paul refers to as a mystery. A mystery. Now, many of us, of course, are enamored, intrigued by the concept of a mystery. I mean, that's why we'll pay money to attend mystery dinners, you know, mystery movies, we'll read mystery novels. And yet here in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul writes of the greatest mystery of all. And he tells us that we are privileged to be main participants in its unfolding. You see, he does this because he basically gets sidetracked by a question that's ruminating in his mind. In fact, it's the same question that should be constantly on our lips. It's basically this: have you heard about the mystery of Christ? Have you heard about the mystery of Christ? Paul writes this: "Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ." You see, much like many Christians today acknowledge the incredible impact, it's really worldwide, that was made through Paul in advancing the gospel, Paul, at this point, he understood this kind of as well. See, in a very gracious way, he was saying, you know, while I'm not with you personally, because I'm here, you know, in prison, I'm assuming you know my story. You know, it's a story which began when Christ personally appeared to me and then saved me. A story which took root when God then used me to change your lives as well. Yes, it's a story which includes how I lived among you there in Ephesus for 3 years and helped plant the church of which you are now a part. A story which has now expanded even though we are miles and miles apart. I want to pause and ask, what's your story? What's your story? How and when did you respond to God's call in your life? And how is this story being written in and through you? I think it's an important question. I ask because some of you are years into this story. Others are just a few chapters in, and still others might find that your first chapter begins right here today. Friends, I don't know what chapter you're in right now, but I do know this: God will finish the story he began in you. And all you need to do is just join God where he's moving. And I say that because God was moving mightily in the church of Ephesus, and Paul wanted to encourage it, since God originally called Paul to build it and then launch it. But since many of the present congregants were not in the church when Paul was there, he began with this question. I mean, have you heard about the mystery of Christ? Have you heard? Think about this. What might happen if you ask the same question to people in your family, people in your workplace, people in your neighborhood? See, like Paul, we shouldn't take it for granted that other people somehow know about Jesus, even if they're in church sitting here with us. And that's why starting with a question is a great way to eventually get to the answer that everyone needs, the answer found only in Jesus. And so now that Paul then has asked them this question, if they've heard about the mystery of Christ, he then expands upon this. He said, okay, well then, let me tell you about the mystery of Christ. Have you ever told someone about the mystery of Jesus Christ? I think one of the first times I remember doing that, I remember in high school, but I remember very much in college. I worked for William Klein Store for Men. And there I just met these different guys. They were in college as well. They became friends of mine. I'll never forget Russ, Terry, and Jim. Jim was a Jewish man. He didn't really believe in Jesus at all. We had all kinds of conversations about him there at work. And I'll tell you what, the friendship still remains, even though I don't know that he's even a believer. But I would talk with Terry. We would sell suits together, and then we'd have all these conversations, and Terry really wasn't sure about where he stood regarding his faith, pretty much about anything. He was from a very troubled family. He had an incredible sense of humor, though. And we had all these conversations about God, about sin, about the cross, about Jesus. And then afterwards, we'd always go out for a plate of chips and cheese and have a great time together. We celebrated several Christmases together. And all of these conversations, well, I ended up, leaving. I graduated from college, started my first job. About a year later, I learned, because Terry contacted me, he came to faith in Jesus Christ. And he thanked me for all of those, he said, kind of combative conversations that we had, because God used those to bring him to faith in Christ. And Terry has now been a pastor in Texas for the past 20 years. That's how I share the mystery of Christ. How could you share the mystery of Christ? Who could you share the mystery with? Here's how Paul shared the mystery. He said, this was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and shares together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're here last weekend, you already probably asking a question. I mean, that's what Paul talked about last weekend. So why is he repeating himself? Can he just kind of move on? I mean, he made his point. I mean, why do we got to come back to this? Because last weekend he talked about how Christ went to the cross so that all of us, Jew and Gentile, could be one. So why does Paul repeat himself here? Well, because they weren't getting it. They were not getting it. Either their culture at that time, their theology from the past, or their politics in the present were getting in the way. They weren't getting it. And for some, while their minds comprehended that Christ died for everybody, okay, I mean, that's okay if they get saved and they get saved. I mean, that's good. They still weren't embracing everyone. And the minds of some Christians, they're going to church with me. I'm going to the same church. They're sitting there with me. At least I'm there in church with them. But they weren't loving them. And Paul was looking for a love that would move beyond just kind of, in a sense, maybe tolerating other people being in church with them or just being accepting of them. He was looking for them to invite them over to their home afterwards and have dinner together and break bread together and be one together and love each other together. That's what he was looking for, which is why he kept repeating himself. And so in order to help people understand, Paul continues to write. He says, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. And so the first thing Paul tells them about this mystery was that previous generations were clueless about it. I mean, these previous generations included both Jews and Gentiles. I mean, while the Jewish people were told over and over again throughout the Old Testament about this mystery, they were never able to fully understand it or embrace it. And that's why you see one Old Testament prophet after another calling them back to the truth, but they still couldn't get it and wouldn't get it. And while the Gentiles were part of this mystery going all the way back to God's call to Abraham, much like the Jewish people of old, they couldn't see it all either until Jesus finally showed up. The second thing Paul told them about this mystery was that some Jews and Gentiles were able to see it now because the Holy Spirit helped them to see it. And friends, the same holds true for us. Jesus told us this truth. He says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. And I think this is really important. I mean, in the second weekend of this series, we actually talked about this. The fact that some people think that they are the ones who choose God. That they are the ones who are humble enough or they're somehow smart enough to choose God on their own. And Jesus made it clear, oh, no. Without the Holy Spirit's work in our lives, sometimes for decades in our lives, none of us would come to God. The Holy Spirit is the one who guides us and draws us to Jesus. Jesus said it this way, no one comes to the Father unless the Father who sent me draws him. And he uses the Holy Spirit in that process. Now, the third thing Paul told them about this mystery is what it was and is. Take a look at verse 6. That through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. So what he's saying again is that Christ came to save people of every race, tribe, and tongue. And Paul makes it clear that a diverse group of people will not only be drawn to Christ, he's saying that a diverse group of people will share in the promise of Christ, that together we then are partners in the gospel. When's the last time you invited somebody of a different ethnicity over to your home to break bread with them? What does that look like? I'll tell you what, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I want to encourage you to do that. In fact, after the service today, I want to encourage you to find somebody you haven't met before and get to know them. It's called loving one another. It's called pursuing being one. Let's be about that, shall we? This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And then suddenly, Paul then moves from this grand picture, right, of God's grand plan, and then he switches things. He starts focusing on the mere man that God used to bring this all about. Basically, Paul starts talking a little bit about himself. Paul wrote, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. So think about this for a moment. Because Paul is basically saying, even though sharing the gospel would take up the rest of his life, even though sharing the gospel would cause him to suffer greatly, it would cause him to face rejection, it would cause him to produce chains really of loneliness in his life, and sharing the gospel would only eventually cost him his life, Paul considered it all a gift of grace. Of grace. Do we? Think about this. Can you imagine what the world would look like, really, if you and I consider the cost of sharing the gospel as a gift of grace rather than like a responsibility or a duty? I think millions of people might come to know God's grace and extend his grace to others. And then can you imagine the blessings we would experience as a result? Because Paul did. And he also knew that in order for people to hear the message, though, it needs to get delivered in the right way. I think that's sometimes part of our problem. It's why Paul wrote this. He says, although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me. So imagine with me again, if you will. I mean, what would it look like? What would our world impact look like in our culture if every Christian, really on the planet, in our nation, viewed themselves as the least of all the Lord's people, the least? It's been noted by others that pride makes us artificial and humility makes us real. Think about that. Friends, people in our culture long to experience real Christians who have encountered a real relationship with a real Jesus and as a result have a real love for one another because they have a real faith in a real God who really loves everyone. They're looking for humility. And when we truly humble ourselves, we stop looking down at others or tell them how they're wrong and we're right. When we truly humble ourselves, We're going to come to see God in a whole new way. And we're going to be used by the Lord in even greater ways. Because this was certainly the case for the Apostle Paul. God used Paul in his humility to preach, it says, to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. So I want to pause here and ask, how could God use you really to help others see this boundless riches, this mystery of Jesus Christ? How could God use you? I think such a move begins, as Paul tells us, by asking a question. Have you heard about the mystery of Christ? Have you heard? Have you? And then with a humble love, tell them, well, let me tell you then about the mystery of Christ. And then once they hear it, perhaps they're going to join with Paul and all the rest of us as we then exclaim, how magnificent is the mystery of Christ? How magnificent. Because Paul writes, his intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. So Paul tells us first that the mystery of Christ is magnificent because it conveys and displays the wisdom of God. And why would we want the wisdom of God in our lives? Well, first of all, because that wisdom is from God. It's not the wisdom we find in our culture. It's not the wisdom we find by watching TV or a certain channel on TV. His ways, friends, are higher than ours. So why else would we want God's wisdom in our lives? Well, secondly, because of how God's wisdom is displayed. This is huge. The Bible says it's not proud or haughty, but the wisdom from above is first what? Pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Friends, everyone could benefit greatly from the wisdom of God. But they first really need to encounter the mystery of Christ for repentance and belief. The second reason Paul tells us the mystery of Christ is magnificent is because God's desire to save us has always been his plan A, not his plan B. Paul wrote, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God's eternal purpose from the beginning of time all the way into eternity has always been to offer his grace and forgiveness to all people. You see, that's not God's new idea. It is God's eternal idea. And the third reason Paul tells that the mystery of Christ is magnificent is because it offers us freedom and confidence in this life and the life to come. He says, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. And friends, when we live like this, we embrace the mystery of Christ like this, friends, when we truly understand the mystery, when we truly understand who Jesus is, we're no longer going to live like it's a secret. We're going to share it. We're going to declare it. We're going to live it. We're going to live it humbly. The mystery of Christ is that all people can know God and have access to God through Christ. Friends, I don't know what you call that, but that's quite a sidetrack. And I think it's a sidetrack conversation that you and I need to display and convey every single day. It begins by asking, have you heard about the mystery of Christ? Oh, if you haven't, then let me tell you about the mystery of Christ, that Jesus died to save all people. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. So repent, believe, follow, receive all the forgiveness that God has for you. And then together you can exclaim, how magnificent is the mystery of Christ? Because Jesus gives us hope, freedom, and life everlasting. And friends, only Jesus can do this. There is no placebo. There is no alternate route. There is no other way. Let me ask you, do you know him? Do you know him? Do you really know Jesus? Maybe you've heard about the mystery of Christ, but you haven't received the mystery of Christ. Will everyone just bow their heads right now? And perhaps if that's you or those watching online, you might join in a prayer that looks and sounds something like this. Dear Jesus, I know that I've messed up. I know I'm a sinner. Lord, there's so many things that I tried to forget, that I've tried to put away, that I've tried to cover up.
but you know them all. And so today I ask you for your forgiveness. That you'd wash away all my sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've done for me on the cross. Thank you for rising again so I can know life everlasting. And I now want to follow you. I want to be more and more like you. I want to be a child of God. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, welcome to the family of God. See, the mystery of Christ is that all people can know God and have access to God through Christ. Friends, we're going to talk more about why Paul wrote this to begin with next weekend. But for now, today and this week, let's live this sidetrack conversation out with everything that we've got. Because this world looks at all these different options that are out there. They find, you know, they look so tantalizing. They promise so many different outcomes. But they all eventually just lead to death. Friends, we find hope. We find life everlasting in Christ and in Christ alone. So let's together, no matter your background, no matter your color of skin, whatever it is, let's all stand together as one and declare our faith in Jesus Christ and in Christ alone.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected throughout the week by following Montgomery Community Church on Facebook and Instagram. For more information about MCC, visit our website at mcc.church.